Why do some people succeed while others struggle? Why do certain groups consistently outperform others? The conventional wisdom typically points to discrimination or inherent differences between groups. But what if both explanations miss something fundamental about how our world works? Consider a simple mathematical reality. When success requires multiple prerequisites, each with a reasonable probability of being present, the chance of having all simultaneously drops dramatically. If success demands 5 separate factors, each with a 2/3 probability, the chance of having all 5 drops to just 1 in 8. This creates naturally skewed distributions, even when everyone starts with equal abilities and faces no discrimination. This explains why extraordinary success is rare in virtually all human endeavors. Missing even one prerequisite, whether complex or simple, within one's control or not, can negate all others present. Think about literacy, which remained absent for 40% of adults globally as recently as 1950. Or consider having someone recognize and nurture your potential talent. These factors create natural inequalities that have nothing to do with discrimination. The assumption that the world would naturally produce equal outcomes without discrimination defies both logic and evidence. As economic historian David Landis noted, the world has never been a level playing field. While human biases certainly exist, automatically making them the primary cause of different outcomes ignores numerous other factors that make equal outcomes highly unlikely. Have you ever wondered why coastal cities tend to be wealthier than inland regions? Transportation costs explain why. In Roman times, shipping cargo across the Mediterranean cost less than moving it just 75 miles inland. Today, landlocked countries face 50% higher transportation costs than coastal nations. These disparities gave coastal peoples larger economic and cultural universes. While technology has reduced these differences, accumulated advantages persist. Climate and soil create further inequalities. Temperate zones offer more fertile land than tropical regions, where soil quality is poor and diseases prevalent. Areas both coastal and temperate contain just 8% of inhabited land, but produce 53% of global GDP, reflecting geography's compounding advantages. Mountain communities further illustrate this impact. Despite comprising 10-12% of world population, they've produced few landmark historical figures and remained poor and isolated until the mid-20th century. Ignoring these geographic realities leads to misdiagnosing inequality and prescribing ineffective solutions. We readily accept age-based financial differences, yet overlook this factor when comparing social groups. In the U.S., income gaps between age groups exceed racial differences substantially. These disparities have grown as modern economies increasingly value accumulated knowledge. Ethnic groups often have dramatically different median ages, Japanese Americans 51 versus Mexican Americans 27, creating inevitable outcome disparities. This makes equal representation in experience-demanding professions mathematically impossible. Senior positions requiring decades of expertise cannot achieve parity across younger populations regardless of individual talent. People aren't even equal to themselves at different life stages. A new doctor cannot match their 50-year-old counterpart's expertise. Equal rights therefore guarantee unequal outcomes, not from discrimination, but from demographic timing. Ignoring these realities creates unrealistic expectations about group outcomes and misattributes natural disparities to other causes. Discrimination has two contradictory meanings: discerning quality differences, discrimination 1, and arbitrary treatment based on group identity, discrimination 2. Discrimination 1 appears in two forms. The ideal but costly discrimination IA involves judging each person individually, while the more practical discrimination IB uses group evidence when individual assessment is too expensive. Perfect individual assessment rarely occurs in reality. Context matters, Professors might treat students individually in class, but avoid strangers on dark streets. Even unbiased employers may use group-based decisions when certain combinations affect workplace efficiency. Misdiagnosing discrimination types creates ineffective policies. Banning criminal background checks can harm young black males without records. Similarly, redlining may reflect risk assessment rather than antipathy. In apartheid South Africa, white employers in competitive industries frequently hired more blacks than permitted and placed them in higher positions than allowed, with many firms fined in the 1970s. This occurred because employers paid economic costs for discrimination, while legislators paid political costs for not discriminating. America's most progressive cities often have the most extreme racial inequality, a paradox where well-intentioned policies produce unintended consequences, harming those they aim to help. Minimum wage legislation illustrates this perfectly. When wages exceed market rates, applicants increase while jobs decrease, creating a surplus that allows employers to discriminate at no cost. The evidence? In 1948, when inflation had effectively nullified minimum wage laws, black and white teenage unemployment rates were nearly identical, 9-10%. After minimum wage increases, black teenage unemployment remained at least double the white rate from 1967 onward. Building restrictions and zoning laws create similar disparities by limiting housing construction amid population growth, creating artificial scarcity and driving up prices. In San Francisco, the black population fell to less than half its 1970 level by 2005, despite overall growth. These limitations benefit existing homeowners through property appreciation while pricing out minorities, creating discriminatory outcomes without discriminatory language. Statistics can illuminate disparities while simultaneously misleading us despite being numerically accurate. Numbers often lack context, use misleading terminology, or build on flawed assumptions. Income statistics frequently omit crucial information. The top income quintile contains millions more people than the bottom, 29 million more in 2002, growing to 36 million by 2015. The top quintile also had four times as many income earners, while most bottom quintile households had no one working. A University of Michigan study, 1975-1991, found 95% of those initially in the bottom quintile moved up, with 29% reaching the top quintile. Over a lifetime, 11% of Americans will spend time in the top 1% income bracket, and 3/4 will experience at least 1 year in the top 20%. Economic classes function more like hotel rooms with changing occupants than fixed categories. Claims of racial bias in policing often compare arrest rates to population percentages while ignoring actual crime rates, comparable to claiming NBA referees are biased because black players receive more than 13% of fouls called. When we base social understanding on statistical illusions, we create solutions that address symptoms rather than causes. Today's prevailing social vision incorrectly assumes group outcomes would be equal without bias, ignoring how geography, culture, and demography naturally create inequalities. This vision harms the disadvantaged when social order collapses during idealistic crusades. Despite greater poverty in the first half of the 20th century, the second half saw substantial decivilizing across the Atlantic. Two New York blackouts illustrate this decline. During the 1965 blackout, crime decreased as strangers helped each other. In contrast, the 1977 blackout brought immediate looting, arson, and a night of terror. What changed? The 1960s welfare state vision introduced non-judgmentalism, multiculturalism, reduced standards, and demographic-based fair shares. Social pathologies previously declining suddenly reversed. American homicide rates, having fallen to half their 1930s level by the early 1960s, doubled between 1960-1980. The vision guiding our policies matters profoundly. Misdiagnosing inequality's causes creates solutions that often worsen problems.